The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? 51551 or ray@rte.ie. Now, we're going to do a little experiment today on WhatsApp. We want to hear your voices on the radio, and it's very easy to do. All you have to do is send us a voicemail on WhatsApp, but it appears to me that some people are having problems with this. They've invested in a phone upstairs. Yes, it's a WhatsApp phone. It's the Radio 1 WhatsApp phone. Now, you would think in this day and age that they'd have some sort of big machine that'd sit in a studio that'd take your WhatsApp messages. Nope, that's not the way it works. You have to get it through a phone and then have to record it and send it down to me. Anyway, you don't need to know those sort of intricacies. All you need to know is what to do. How do you contact us on WhatsApp? Right, take out your phone. Everybody got your phone out. If you're driving, don't do it. Right, take out your phone. Unlock it. Open it up as if you're going to make a phone call. That's easy enough. Don't open up Instagram or anything like that. Just open up the phone. Now type in the following number as if you're going to phone it. 087 187 9101. That's 087 187 9101. That's 087 187 9101. You could put music to that. It's sort of a cha-cha, isn't it? 087 187 9101. 087 187 9101. Now, somewhere on your screen it says create contact or add to contacts. Press that. Stay with me. You can listen back to this. Okay, name it Radio 1 WhatsApp. RT Radio 1 WhatsApp. Hit save. There you have it. Now we're there. Now, whenever we're on air and you want to send us a voice note or a message, you have it there and you can do it. So today, just because we're doing it, we're talking today, it's Pancake Tuesday. So we thought we'd ask you, what are you having on your pancake today? We don't want it, for the moment anyway, this is just for this little experiment of ours, to make sure there are people out there who can use WhatsApp and send us a voicemail, just to make sure the phone's working. We don't know if it's working yet. So 087 187 9101. Give us a voicemail, a voice note as they're called. Tell us what you're putting on your pancake this evening. Is it traditional lemon juice and sugar? And of course, we couldn't afford fresh lemons back in the day. We had to get the little Jif thing. You know that? And there's something odd about that. Anyway, it could be that. But there's the world is your oyster. You wouldn't put oysters on pancakes, but you can put whatever you want. So a lot of people like Nutella. Some people like jam. Some people like fresh cream with some fresh fruit. Others like melted chocolate. Some people like their savoury. They might like it with cheese, melted cheese. Whatever it is, let us know. And if you can't get the WhatsApp thing going, maybe text us 51551. But that WhatsApp number again, 087 187 9101. 087 187 9101. Okay, so what are you putting on your pancake? And we're going to have Louise Lennox in after 4 o'clock to talk us through it. And I might just share my dad's recipe with you. I've sort of updated it a bit with a little help from Nevin Maguire, but we'll give you that one. It works every weekend for me when I make the pancakes for the kids. So it's a foolproof one, a foolproof one. There's a lovely thread going around at the moment. People are wondering, what were you doing 20 years ago today? What were you doing 20 years ago? Now, we won't be specific about today, but what were you doing 20 years ago? I was trying to think, what was I doing? No, I was working on a show called Too Fat with Zig and Zag and Velcro Girl and 15 mad students and a scooter. And it used to be on Friday evenings and Monday evenings on Network 2, as it was back then. That's what I was doing 20 years ago. The year, of course, was 2000, and we just entered a new century, a new millennium. We got over the old Y2K thing. Nothing happened. We were all waiting there with bated breath as 1999 became 2000. What's going to happen? The world's going to stop. It didn't stop. It didn't stop. It just continued. On telly, the most watched programme back in the year 2000 was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with Gay Byrne, the late Gay Byrne. Also on the telly at the time, Pat Kenny, first season of The Late Late Show. Black Books, that brilliant sitcom set in a bookshop with Dylan Moran. Friends was at its peak or thereabouts. Eeyore. Everybody was drooling over, what was his name? Huh? George Clooney. George Clooney. What was his character's name?
Doug Ross,
played by George Clooney in ER. And of course, Friends is coming back 20 years on. They're getting $2.5 million for the episode. You would have read that. The movies you would have been attending 20 years ago this year, Mission Impossible, Gladiator with Russell Crowe, Castaway with Tom Hanks, The Grinch, Jim Carrey. And the music you would have been listening to on your radios and in your stereos. Eminem and Dido Stan. Remember that? I want to thank you. Spiller. Groove Jet. Who sang on that? Now, what's her girl's name? I can never remember her name. I think she won Strictly as well a few years ago. Sophie Ellis-Bextor, thank you very much. You're on the ball today. Mark McCabe, Maniac 2000, of course, was there. All Saints, Pure Shores, and Delirium Silence, which we're going to play. So that's just might jog your memory of 20 years ago. What were you doing 20 years ago? And things have, like for me, obviously, I hadn't met my now wife. I didn't have children, lived in a different house. All of those things happened in the last 20 years. 5 on 5, 5 on radio.rte. We're hoping that you're going to be able to get on top of that WhatsApp thing and send us a voice note to 087-187-9101. Remember back in the day when they used to do, good afternoon, you can contact us. Text 5 on 5, 5 on radio.rte. Hashtag this, WhatsApp this, Instagram that. And you get confused. And you say, I'm not going to contact that person. Too many ways of contacting you. Anyway, streaky bacon and maple syrup on my pancakes. I'm having poached, is it chai and bourbon pears with vanilla mascarpone? Look at you, Laura, all posh. I didn't want to share with you that I'll probably have some melted dark chocolate and raspberries later on my pancake because I thought it was too posh. Look at you with your poached chai and bourbon pears with vanilla and mascarpone. Homemade marshmallow cream with Nutella and strawberries. Yum, says Audrey and kids in Galway. Stewed apple and ice cream. That sounds delicious. And the Ruby grandchildren are having chocolate spread on their pancakes in Blarney. There, so keep them coming in. 5 on 5, 5 on radio.rte. And what were you doing 20 years ago? A round of applause for George Hood. He's a 62-year-old former US Marine and he's gone into the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest male abdominal plank. Do you know that position? They do it in when you're in the gym, they use it in yoga. You're lying, sort of in a press-up position, but your elbows are on the ground and your body's off the ground. It's called a plank because that's your body looks like a plank of wood. It's supposed to be straight, very good for the core, they say. Anyway, George Hood held that position for 8 hours, 15 minutes and 15 seconds. And he now goes into the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest male abdominal plank in Chicago. I wonder if I went into plank position now, could I maintain it till the end of the show? No, I couldn't because I've people to meet. Louise Lennox, as I said, we have a lovely chat with Martin Short and Steve Martin, because they're coming to town to the Three Arena. And I got to talk to them on the phone and we'll play that out for you after 4 o'clock. And we'll be catching up on where the HPV vaccine is, both for teenage girls and for teenage boys. And we meet the lady who sketched Harvey Weinstein in court yesterday, just as he was told he was found guilty on 2 counts and may be imprisoned for up to 25 years. So that's all to come. So I can't possibly be in a plank position for all of that. Just wouldn't work. Do it on your own time, says you. I'm just trying to get this thing out here. Pancake for flip sake, cup on, be chefs. When one side of a pancake is done, use a spatula to turn it. Hold pan at downward angle, let spatula slide in as far as possible and flip it with a quick movement. Ergo, pancake intact and sealing clean, says Reg. I don't flip mine. Because I've seen all the cartoons where they try and flip them and ends up stuck to the ceiling. I just don't want to do that. Fiona says, I met my husband in Doheny and Nesbitt's exactly 20 years ago. It was a drunken Friday night when the stars aligned and God, I love him. Isn't that lovely? Got married 20 years ago. Maniac 2000 was the song of the year. Oogie, oogie, oogie. Oogie. Oogie, oogie, oogie. I was singing on the QE2 cruise ship. Amazing, says that person. 20 years ago, I was 14. I just started watching The Sopranos. That's another program that was on the telly. It really was the start of the golden age of television. What a superb show. Aaron and Galway. You're right, Aaron, because what happened with The Sopranos was that the standard of TV sort of it sprinted ahead of the standard of movies. And since then, you're no longer, you know, a second place actor if you star in a TV show. And I'd say the best stuff is done on TV now, not from Hollywood. Healthy pancake, mash a banana with one egg and a drop of vanilla essence mix. Fry and turn. Add whatever topping like yogurt, berries, nuts and honey or maple syrup. So healthy pancake, mash a banana with one egg and a drop of vanilla essence. All right, so there's none of the milk and there's none of the flour. So it's egg and banana. That's an interesting one. So you fry and turn, add whatever topping you like. That's interesting. Loads coming in there. We get back to 51551 RAID RTE.ie. Good afternoon. Memories of music from 20 years ago. Hands in the air! that's an odd tune to hear on RT Radio 1 of an afternoon, but it's a good one. It's a good one. That's Silence from Delirium from 20 years ago. Trish says, 20 years ago, I was greeting newborn first grandchild Leah, a beautiful, talented young woman today. 20 years ago, I just celebrated my 21st and used the money I made to book a J1 trip to New Jersey with my new boyfriend, now husband, and friends. Looking back, it was probably one of the best summers of my life. 3 months of freedom with my best friends with no Facebook to tell everyone what we were getting up to. The song that reminds me is Who Let the Dogs Out? A classic. Paul in Arklow says, I'm a diabetic. I use sweetener in my pancake mix instead of sugar. My topping will be Splenda and lemon. Thanks for that, Paul. And my pal had a few drinks a couple of years back, came home, had the pancakes with what he thought was yogurt, ended up in deep heat. You made that up, Martin. That's not going to be pleasant. Chomping on some deep heat in a pancake. Sugar and lemon. And could you call out that app number again? The WhatsApp number, yeah. 087-187-9101. 087-187-9101. 087-187-9101. You'll have to do some sort of jingle for that to get it into your head and to mine. Speaking of getting things into your head, David in Cork says, it's in my head now, so you have to spin Maniac 2000, do we? 20 years ago, I was living in Toledo, Ohio, with friends whose 10-year-old daughter had recently been diagnosed with leukemia. I had the privilege of helping the family, 4 kids in total, through the first 18 months of her intense chemotherapy. Happy to say she's getting married this year. Isn't that lovely? To her fiancé. The wonders of science and the resilience of the human spirit, says Sorka. Thanks for that, Sorka. I was in the Glen of Amal preparing for a trip to the Lebanon. Or it's just Lebanon, isn't it? Not the Lebanon. Great times with great people. And I know where I was 20 years ago on the eve of the millennium with you. I was involved in the University Concert Hall, Limerick. Ah, yes. We were running a major concert on the night and you were the MC. Performers on the night were Suzanne Murphy, William Byrne, Brian Byrne, Frankie Gavin, Ronan Tynan, the Noolas and the National Youth Orchestra, says Bill, who also sent us photographs. That's right. I was down in Limerick ringing in the new millennium. I think that was on Lyric FM. Yes, I've been on Lyric FM. That's where they might put me in the end. But that's that particular night, New Year's Eve, 1999 into 2000. That's a lovely memory, Bill. Thanks for that. 51551 RAID RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
51551. Now, yesterday, as you would have read in all the papers, because his picture is on the cover of most papers today, Harvey Weinstein was rushed to hospital instead of prison after he was found guilty of rape in the third degree and sexual assault. He could spend up to 25 years in prison. In the courtroom, he was handcuffed and was reported to have asked, how can this happen in America, before he was led away. The courtroom sketch from that moment has been shared all over the world and it was drawn by Jane Rosenberg, who was in court throughout the trial since the beginning of January. She has also sketched courtroom moments from other infamous trials, including Bill Cosby, Woody Allen and El Chapo. And Jane is on the line now. Good morning, Jane.
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, thanks so much for taking our call. I suppose today is a day off after a long trial like that. You're probably valuing your time off. Yeah.
I did sleep in late today, all the way till 7:30 a.m. I mean, I'm usually in the courtroom at that time.
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah.
My day off.
Your sketch of Harvey Weinstein as they put the handcuffs on him in yesterday's courtroom has gone global. And this isn't the first time this has happened. But you capture a troubled man. He looks like he's pleading innocence and pleading to be released. Talk us through your work and particularly yesterday, a day like that. You were obviously aware of how big a trial it was.
Well, of course I'm aware. I was sketching Harvey Weinstein since the first moment he was arraigned, and 2 years ago almost. And I've been sketching him throughout all the pretrial until he was found guilty. And I've watched him wither away over all this time. He was very heavy in my first sketch. I got attacked for making him too heavy, and now he's withered away and he's, you know, lost a lot of weight. He's turned gray in his pallor. He looked very stressed out for this past week waiting for a verdict. I could see. It was hard to see him during the moment the verdict was read. There were so many court officers, a few of them just piled into the courtroom. And I had to keep jumping up, and the court officer was next to me saying, "You have to sit down, you have to sit down." I had to see his face, though. So that's how it went.
Because that's your job.
That's my job, but they don't care.
Yeah, and of all the people in the courtroom, you probably were more fixated on his demeanor than anybody else throughout the trial.
Perhaps.
Yes.
I guess I had the best seat to see his face when I wasn't blocked by a lawyer leaning back.
Yeah.
I had the best angle for media because they wouldn't let any media in the first two rows. It was all government lawyers on one side and all defense friends or whatever on the other.
Yeah.
So the first two rows were out, and I had the third row, and I was all the way to the side, and I could get a good profile view, or if he turned, which he often did, to see whatever, speak to somebody, his lawyers or anybody. I could see him then.
Yeah, and what was his reaction at various times? Was he constantly serious? Did he show any emotion?
He had some moments where he actually laughed at jokes, and he did smile on occasion. Not during deliberations, no. He looked stressed out the whole time. But during the trial, there were moments of laughter and lighter moments. So I saw him from many different angles. He would talk, lean up, he'd lean down. I got to really understand the structure of his face after so many times sketching him at so many different angles.
He did have
many different expressions.
And he looks to me like an interesting subject for an artist.
I did enjoy sketching him because there was a lot to work with, a lot of lines, a lot of lumps. It wasn't just, a smooth, simple, beautiful face. There was a lot going on in it.
You also sketched the women who were giving evidence against him, and you also sketched his lawyer, Donna Rotunno. Why do you think this picture? There's great energy in. I'm just looking at it here. Your sketch from yesterday. There's great energy in it. And how many pictures would you have done through the whole trial?
How many? I haven't counted.
Yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
I don't know.
Would you do one?
I don't know how many days. More than one a day.
More than one
sure.
a day. Right. Okay.
And
How do you get the job? Are you the only sketcher in? Were you the only sketcher in for this trial?
There were actually five of them during the verdict. It was one or two throughout the whole trial. Then there were four, and then during deliberations, there were five.
Okay. Who employs you?
The media. I do not work for the courts. A lot of people think I'm hired by the courts. I'm hired by media. I think that you probably got all my sketches from Reuters. Wire service.
Yeah.
That goes international.
Yeah. Yeah. And how does one become a courtroom sketch artist?
That is a long story. I suppose anyone who wants to be one should go to court. They're open in America. I don't know how it is there in Ireland. I don't even know if you're allowed to have courtroom sketch artists. I heard in England, they're not allowed to sketch.
I think we have sketch artists here.
Go in and look out. They have to sketch it outside the courtroom, from what I heard England.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how it works.
We must look into it
but
now.
But here, you just go to court, practice, see if you like it. Keep doing it. It's not easy. There's a lot of obstruction. You can't see. There's podiums are bigger than ever. There's computer monitors on every table now. This didn't used to be the case 40 years ago when I first began.
But how did you first begin, Jane? Why did you get into it?
I went to court.
Right.
I did go to court. I was always an artist. I was an art major in college, and I saw another court artist do a lecture at Society of Illustrators, and I said, I want to do this, but I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm good enough. But I went to court. I went to night court. I had some friends who were lawyers, and they took me to 100 Center Street, where a lot of prostitutes were being arraigned in the night court. And I practiced, and the court officers were very nice, and they told me, come next week, we'll let you sit with the media. And I did a sketch, and I went home with my sketch, and I saw there were a few other artists. I called the startup company, which was CNN back then.
Yes.
They were the new kid on the street, and they said, well, we had an artist, and then I had to go to the big three. So I think it was NBC hired me they said, come in, let's see what you've got. And I showed it to them, and they said, great, we're going to use it. And I went home and watched it on my little black and white TV and called my parents and said, Mom, on TV, look. And it was pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And that's how it all began.
And Jane, do you own the sketch at the end of it, or who owns it?
I do own the artwork, the original artwork.
Okay.
I'm selling reproduction rights to media people.
Aha. And have you done exhibitions over the years?
Yes, there's an exhibition right now in the federal courthouse at 500, the Southern District Federal Courthouse, 500 Pearl. That has an exhibition. There's been many group shows. I didn't do a solo show ever of courtroom art.
Yeah.
And so it's been group exhibition.
Do you get pulled into the trial, or do you have to remain detached?
Well, doing the best I can to listen and draw, which is not always easy. I hear it on some level, but I could never report accurately everything. I miss a lot, but then I read about it at the end of the day.
Mm.
But that doesn't mean what I feel is going to make a decision about what I'm sketching. I'm sketching what I see,
yes.
No matter what. If a person looks happy, I sketch that. If they look sad, I have to sketch it as it happens, whatever's happening. Not about what my opinion is.
And finally, just on your opinion over the last 40 years, do you in your own head, probably you don't share with anybody or maybe your closest and dearest, that do you offer an opinion of what way it's going to go, if the person's going to be found guilty or not?
I do try to figure it out, but honestly didn't know how this was going to go.
Right.
Sometimes I sort of have a pretty serious answer, but this was a hard one. I didn't know what the jury was going to decide.
Mm.
They could have gone anyway.
And I know you were concentrating on him when the verdict was announced yesterday, but what...
Yes, I was.
What was the reaction of other people in the courtroom?
Oh, I don't know.
You don't know, right. Okay.
I did not look that way
okay,
at all.
Okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah, okay.
I was looking forward. I was trying to see him. I was like squeezing glimpses between court officers, standing up, moving my head, wiggling around. I need to see what he does. If he had a reaction, I needed to get that.
Yeah.
And I didn't see any kind of tears or, you know, nothing really serious happen. Emotions didn't come out. Except for what I sketched, I think got it, the emotion.
It did. And I'm just looking at the picture you sketched from 2 years ago when he was arraigned. And he looks like this. He looks like this overly confident, arrogant, monster-like figure. And then he's been reduced to this shadow of his former self.
He did become that.
Yeah.
A little sad to watch that, you know.
I know, but
he could hardly stand.
I think
he couldn't stand up straight.
But justice has been served.
But it's sad what he's done to the women. So,
more than
I always believe no means no.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Jane, thanks so much for taking our call today. Enjoy
you're
your day
welcome.
Off. That's Jane Rosenberg
Thank
there, courtroom sketch artist. Thank you, Jane. Thank you. And just on that, the district attorney, Cyrus Vance, spoke after the verdict yesterday. And it's worth just reading out what he said. He said, "This is the new landscape for survivors of sexual assault in America, I believe, and it is a new day. It is a new day because Harvey Weinstein has finally been held accountable for crimes he committed. Weinstein is a vicious serial sexual predator who used his power to threaten, rape, assault and trick, humiliate and silence his victims." He went on to say, "These are eight women who hauled our justice system into the 21st century by declaring that rape is rape, sexual assault is sexual assault no matter what. Rape is rape, whether it's committed by a stranger in a dark alley or by an intimate partner in a working relationship. Rape is rape, whether by a homeless person or by a man with immense power and prestige and privilege. Rape is rape, whether it is reported in an hour or a year or never. It's rape despite the complicated dynamics of power and consent. It's rape even if there is no physical evidence and even if it happened a long time ago." That's part of his speech there. And I've told you about that brilliant book, Catch and Kill, by Ronan Farrow, which I read. And it's all about Weinstein. And the thing that isn't been reported on today is the lengths he went to silence his victims. And it's outlined in Ronan Farrow's book. And it just makes the whole thing a lot more hideous and monstrous and horrible. But if you should read the book, Ronan Farrow, Catch and Kill, it's a brilliant read. Now, 51551, Ray at RTE.ie.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
We have the WhatsApp up and running and we have loads of voice notes coming in and we're going to get to them. So keep them coming in. The number is 087-187-9101. 087-187-9101, and tell us what you're going to be putting on your pancakes later on today. Now, last autumn, boys were included in the National HPV Immunisation Programme for the first time. Today, the HSE are reminding parents that school vaccination teams are going back into the schools now to offer the second dose of HPV vaccines, as well as a dose of, how do you pronounce this, Lucy?
Meningococcal ACWY vaccine.
Thank you to first-year students. I'm joined now by, that was the voice of Dr. Lucy Jessop, who is the director of the HSE National Immunisation Office, as well as Owen Roach, who is a HPV vaccination advocate after having just gone through treatment for HPV-related cancer. Good afternoon to you both, and you're very welcome along.
Afternoon, Ray.
So, Owen, yours is a good news story.
It is, so far.
Yes, but if you were alive, if you were a teenager now, you would have never got the cancer in the first place.
No, and with the vaccine, that would have prevented the, hopefully that would have prevented the cancer that I got last year.
Okay, what age are you?
I'm 42.
Right, and what's your family situation?
I'm married with two boys living in Selbridge and Kildare. I'm originally from Limerick.
And what age are your two boys?
Rian is one and Clark is three.
Okay. What sort of cancer did you get?
I had tonsil and neck cancer. My primary cancer was in my tonsil and the secondary tumour was in my neck. They were both identified as HPV positive cancers.
Okay. How did you discover you got it?
It was my eldest boy, Clark, got his second year haircut. He went over and both myself and my wife saw that one of his glands in his neck was up. So we took him over to our local GP, Dr. Louise Connolly, and she examined him and said he's getting a virus out of his system. He'd been sick over Christmas and all his glands are up. So she said, if it's up, still up in 2 weeks, come back. If glands stay up for more than 2 weeks, come back to us and take a look. So I got a nasal infection a couple of weeks later and my glands were up and my left gland stayed up. So I went over to her, she examined it. I'd no other symptoms. I'd no problem with my swallow, no problem, no sore throats or anything like that. And the process started from there, from blood tests to ultrasounds to biopsies to puncture biopsies. And
yeah, so you're a man in his early 40s.
Yeah.
What's your lifestyle?
Non-drinker, non-smoker. I'd stopped drinking about 18 months before that.
Right.
I changed my diet about 2 years before that and gone from about 14 and a half stone down to 11 and a half stone.
Right.
Fittest I'd ever been. And then to be told in late March, early April, that I had cancer was some shock to the system.
Right. And did you understand that it was a HPV type cancer?
No, I hadn't. And that's something that I had no idea that men could acquire HPV cancer.
Yes.
And it's one of the reasons I'm trying to highlight the fact that like HPV cancer is there both in male and females, and it can be prevented.
And you're putting yourself out there. You're in the health supplement of the Irish Times today. You're in talking to us here. So you're the poster boy for this vaccine, really, whether you like it or not.
I'm putting my story out there.
Your story out there.
There's a lot of people.
But the late Laura Brennan inspired you to do this.
Yes, definitely, 100%. Like a girl like that in her situation, promoting it and her family continuing to promote it. I only got a message from Kevin Brennan this morning just thanking me for what I'm doing as well. And I hope it's... it helps in her legacy as well.
Yeah, yeah, very important. Lucy, I'll bring you in there. So the girls' HPV vaccine was introduced how many years ago?
In 2010.
2010, so 10 years ago this year, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was talk right from the off that maybe it should be introduced for boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So will you just explain how the HPV works?
So HPV, it's a group of viruses, lots of different kind of viruses, over 100 of them. Some of them will just give you the warts on your sort of hands and your feet. Some of them will give you genital warts. And then unfortunately, some of them are these cancer-causing types of HPV. And about 80% of us are going to acquire HPV virus at some point in our lives. But most of us will have absolutely no symptoms. We won't have any idea that we're carrying it on our skin. But unfortunately, we can pass it on to other people.
Okay. And do we know how that sort of, which can be an innocent enough virus, can lead to cancer like own gut?
Well, the virus invades the cells and starts making changes on them, making cancerous changes with them, but we can't tell, you know, if it's going to be you or you or you who's going to get the cancer, unfortunately. So.
Okay. Why is the vaccine given in first year? Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons. So the first years are around 11, around sort of 12, 13 years of age. And that's the time when we know the vaccine responds, they respond the better to the vaccine. Their immune systems respond better. So they only need two vaccines about 6 months apart. Whereas if they are over the age of 15, they need three vaccines because it doesn't work quite so well when you're older. And the second reason is obviously it's much better as a prevention before you've been exposed at all. So if you have it around sort of 12, 13, you haven't been exposed to HPV.
And where does sexual activity come into the whole thing?
Well, it's skin-to-skin contact that that you can pass it on, but it's sort of skin-to-skin contact via sexual activity. So though condoms can help a bit, you know, they might not be covering the area that is... that is actually infected.
So tell us why it took 9 years to introduce the vaccine for boys.
Well, first of all, it was licensed as a cervical cancer prevention vaccine. Obviously, we know that HPV causes cervical cancer in most cases of cervical cancer. So that was thought to be the best use of the vaccine at the time to protect the girls directly. And then more evidence has come about that actually, if we immunise boys and girls, then we can really stop the spread of the
infection. So you're protecting both boys and girls by vaccinating boys as well?
Yes. And also, obviously, the more people you... vaccinate, the less the virus can spread. So HICWA were tasked by the Department of Health to do a health technology assessment a couple of years ago, and that reported in December 2018 and said, yes, we should definitely move into boys. And that's when that was done.
So it's the second hit now. So they would have got
the first
hit in September or thereabouts, was it?
They did, yep. So they got their tetanus booster with the first dose around September, October, November time. And then so 5 to 6 months later, they need to have their second dose. So they're going in now again. And that's when they're also going to get this new meningococcal vaccine at the same time.
OK, so parents just need to be reminded.
Just to be reminded, yeah. So if they sign the consent form in around September time, then the children will just get the second dose. But if they, for some reason, it got lost in the school bag or whatever, if they don't think they did sign it at that time, then they can contact the school teams and get another consent form and join the program.
What's the uptake been like?
Well, the clinics have been very busy. All areas have told us that it's very, very busy. We know in Clare that actually the uptake, obviously where Laura Brennan is from, the uptake is about 90% of boys and girls. So that's totally amazing.
Yeah. That is amazing. So that's what a brilliant legacy.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So Laura obviously has done a great work.
So the big story was that when it was launched first for girls back in 2010, it was up around 85%. Mm-hmm. And then it dipped about 3 or 4 years ago, down as low as nearly 50%.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Which was scary for everybody. And where is the girls' uptake now? You mentioned Clare already, but nationally, where is it at?
Nationally, we haven't got all the figures yet. So, but we're thinking we're kind of going to make the WHO target of 80% by the end of the year. We're hoping for boys and girls. It seems to be the boys and the girls are sort of very similar uptake.
And again, like a lot of the credit has to go to the late Laura Brennan, doesn't it?
Yep, Laura Brennan and her family obviously have been brilliant advocates of the vaccine and really showed what an unvaccinated girl.
And what about the proliferation of misinformation? Where are we at with that now? Do you monitor it in the HSE?
We do, yes. So we obviously keep an eye on what's going on social media and Twitter. Obviously, things can travel a lot faster than they could 10, 15 years ago. So, yes, we keep a little bit of an eye on that. The most important thing, I suppose, for parents, it is very difficult for them to discern the truth from the, yes. from the misinformation sometimes on social media. So we would advise them always to look at reputable websites like www.hpv.ie. Which is accredited by the World Health Organization, or just go directly to the World Health Organization for the best evidence.
And Owen, I suppose the best message you can give is that I would imagine both your boys are going to be getting the HPV vaccine.
Yeah, definitely they'll be vaccinated. Like, I'd never tell anyone what to do, but I would highly recommend that boys of the age get the vaccine to prevent, like, not that I've lost 12 months, but I've lost a good 12 months of my life, especially with my kids and stuff like that. And if that can be prevented for somebody, I'd recommend that they do it.
So what was your treatment like?
Treatment was severe. It's 7 weeks of 35 sessions of radiotherapy. I initially was meant to have 3 sessions of chemotherapy cisplatin, but because I lost a bit of hearing in my left ear and got tinnitus, they reduced the amount but increased the frequency of it. Okay. So I got it 5 times instead of 3 times. In bed sick for most of the time, just getting up for treatment. And couldn't drive, so friends, family would bring me down to Vincent's and bring me back out to Salisbury then again as well.
So I believe you had great support from your colleagues.
Absolutely fantastic support. My wife, Andrea, set up a WhatsApp group with my work colleagues and my friends, and they did the 35 trips
right
for me, yeah. And in week 5, unfortunately, my wife came down the stairs with our youngest fella and did the ligaments in her ankle. So they actually, she... myself and herself were doing the chemotherapy together, which was nearly like 8 hours of chatting. But then the lads took over and did that with me as well.
Right. Yeah. And where are you at?
I had a PET scan on the 21st of November and got results on the 27th of November. And what's said to you is treatment appears to have worked. They'll never tell you for basically 5 years that you're clear, but right. What they'll say is treatment has worked. I'm keeping up my appointments with my surgeon and my radiotherapist, and they examine me kind of overlapping every 2 or 3 months, and they've been brilliant to me, Mr. Morn and Professor Armstrong.
And what other types of cancer can men get from HPV?
Yep, so there's the head and neck cancers, there's also penile cancer and anal cancers as well.
Right, and what's the occurrence of it in Ireland?
Well, overall, about 400 people a year will get an HPV-related cancer, and about 1 in 4 of those, I think, are men.
Right. And how many people survive that, or many people die from it, I suppose?
About 100 people die from HPV-related cancers every year in Ireland.
Now, Australia is cited as an example of how screening and vaccination works. So where are they at with death rates?
I'm not sure about death rates, but they're definitely going very much heading towards eliminating cervical cancer as a public health problem. So they started their program in 2007 for the girls, and I think 2013 for the boys. So they're doing very well in terms of their
elimination. So we're a few years behind.
Yeah, but certainly now that we've got the recovery of the uptake, we're definitely on our way there as well.
Yeah. So what's your message, your ongoing message for parents of teenage boys and girls who are around the age of 12 and looking at, because it's every September, isn't it?
It is, yes. So the people in sixth class will get a leaflet in the summer term explaining that the programme is going to start, and then they will get the consent form and a bigger leaflet in September when they start first year. So parents of sixth class boys and girls, I would say, have a look even now at the information that we have on our websites. And
what about parents of boys who are in second year, third year, fourth year, fifth year, sixth year? Because I know there was a catch-up scheme for girls when it was introduced. Is there a similar thing for boys?
When the HICWA did their health technology assessment, they didn't recommend a catch-up for boys. So at present, there isn't a catch-up.
There isn't a catch-up. No. Can you get it privately?
You can go and speak to your GP and get
that
privately.
And how much would that cost?
You'd have to pay for the vaccine and the administration fee, so I'm not sure that it would be.
It's €660 for the 3 doses for over 15. They give it to you in 3 separate doses. I had my second shot this morning.
Oh, you were getting it done?
Yeah.
Right. So should I get it done? No, I'm serious.
There's no,
I'm a 55-year-old man.
There's technically no upper age limit. I think it's sort of a discussion with your GP as to whether you think it would be worth doing it. It's obviously much better if you haven't been exposed to HPV.
Yes.
So it's sort of a personal choice and a discussion with your GP, really.
Okay. So there's loads of things to think about there. 660 to get it done privately.
Yes.
Okay. And Hickwood just decided that it wasn't more cost effective to do a catch-up programme?
Yeah, so that was essentially they decided that it would be best to start with the boys in first year.
Okay. Rightio, Dr. Lucy Jessop, Director of the HSE National Immunisation Office, and Owen Roach, good to see you in good health.
Thank you very much.
Owen, thanks so much for coming in. Lovely picture in the health supplement of the Irish Times today. Thank you both.
Thank you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can second-year boys get the vaccine? No is the answer there, obviously. Can I get it privately? Yes is the answer. It will cost you. Just for your information, Bruce Dickinson, lead singer with Iron Maiden, had throat cancer caused by HPV virus. He was treated successfully, thankfully, as far as I know. There's going to probably be questions asked about that. There's another person saying, can boys in school other than first year get the vaccine? I have a son in transition year. And the answer is no. HICWA have decided that it's not cost effective. I think that's the word that's used. It's saying here that the mailbox is full on WhatsApp number. Hey, sunk in 087-187-9101. 087-187-9101. And today we asked you to send us a voice note and we asked you, what will you be putting on your pancake this evening? Gordon.
Well, boy, I'll be going home here this evening. I'm going to have, you know, the icing out of the coffee cake.
Ah, yeah.
That's what I'm going to be having on my pancake. I swear to be Jesus, I can honest to God now, my woman, she makes it. There's nothing like it. And I'm not calling it nothing like it.
Gordon. Is he real? Is he real? Oh man, Gordon, what will you be putting on your pancake?
Hi, Ray. Just to let you know, I'm having strawberries, blueberries and vanilla ice cream on my protein banana pancakes.
A protein.
Delicious.
Delicious. A protein banana pancake. Hi, Ray. I want to hear that again.
Hi, Ray. Just to let you know. Hi, Ray. Just to let you know.
Thank you very much. Hi, Ray. Hi, Ray. Of course, you can drop us a text as well if you can't use the WhatsApp thing. 51551, ray@rte.ie. Daisy, what about you?
Hi, Ray. It's Daisy Conboy, and I'm having golden syrup and sprinkles on my pancake. Happy Pancake Tuesday.
Happy Pancake Tuesday, Daisy. I love this. I love this. These are voice notes on WhatsApp. I know they've been doing it on other stations for years, but it just took us a bit of time to get around to it and buy the phone and work out the technology. Hello.
Hi, Ray. This is Catherine Duffy here. I already had my pancake today and I had some banana and I had some maple syrup. Happy Pancake Tuesday.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Banana and maple syrup. What about you?
On my pancake, I'm going to be having skellig chocolate and raspberries wrapped with a little honey and a squeeze of lemon juice. So good luck with WhatsApp. And that's my recorded message. David from Dundrum in Dublin.
Thanks, David. Sometimes we sound so self-conscious, don't we? You can tell by the people of their age nearly. You know, the younger people are very comfortable with leaving a voice note on WhatsApp. And then the older people are slightly self-conscious. He's a man after my own heart, David in Dundrum, with his skellig chocolate melted with raspberries and a squirt of lemon and some honey. Yum, yum, yummity, yum, yum, yum. Julie is in Artane. And Julie, what have you got for us?
Hi, Ray. We've a load of kids here in Artane and we can't wait to have our pancakes after our roast chicken dinner. And the toppings we have are...
strawberries, bananas, chocolate and golden syrup.
And my favourite, sugar and lemon.
Hey,
bye.
You're a traditionalist in the end. I'd love to know the history. I'm going to look that up while we go to Noakt. I'm going to look up the history of sugar and lemon on pancakes for Pancake Tuesday. Of course, it's a day that has a certain poignancy for me because over the years, and God, it's hard to believe, but I started doing daily radio back in the year 2000. And I think from the off, every Pancake Tuesday, we had me dad on and he shared his pancake recipe with the nation. And we had a bit of a laugh about it and became one of those traditions, lovely tradition. And of course, dad died there the Christmas before last. Actually, two Christmases ago. So I'll have to pass on his recipe to you and keep the tradition going. It's sort of still a Ray Darcy, albeit Ray Darcy Jr. What else are you saying there, Aina and Mullingar? How are you doing, Aina? I love the pancake served with stewed apples, maple syrup and fresh cream. And let's see, 20 years ago, Sergeant Pepper thought the band to play. You got to play that great Joe Dolan Disco 2000, says Frank. And Mags and Cork says, 20 years ago, found out I was expecting my daughter after 14 years of trying. She's now 19 and has brought so much joy and happiness to me. And on the HPV vaccine, I paid over 1,000 euro for my two sons, best money ever spent. Well, I suppose it's peace of mind, isn't it? They'll have to revisit that, I think. I think they'll have to revisit that. My son got hot flushes for weeks after his first dose of HPV. Is that a side effect? Eleanor, well, Lucy's gone now, but we will get on to her and ask her about that. But there should be a list of side effects in the literature that you get. So if you consult that, the answer might be there. I saw the film Bombshell on this topic. If these guys treat female employees as depicted in the film, this is on Harvey Weinstein, they deserve to be pilloried, says Rory. Our next two guests between them have starred in over 100 movies. They are two of Hollywood's funniest A-listers, and they're coming to the Three Arena on March the 11th. Hello, Steve Martin and Martin Short, and Martin Short and Steve Martin. How are you?
Hello, how are you? 100 movies. Where'd you get that number? I like it.
Yeah, I know. It just sounds good. Wikipedia?
Does sound good. It's all made up. I prefer that to the truth.
I'm really looking forward to your show in the Three Arena. You spend a lot of time doing what we do a lot of in this country, slagging each other.
Yes, you do that there. I can't wait.
Yes.
I can't wait to get there because I can double down on Marty.
Yeah. Who's the best slagger, do you think?
Definitely Marty.
No, Steve, don't be silly. It would be me.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
The show resulted as somebody asking you to interview each other.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
It was a comedy convention. And they asked us to interview each other, and so we did. And there was a lot of people interested in comedy in the audience. And it went really well. And we thought, hey, we could do this again sometime. It'd be fun. And then the next audience we had was not people interested in comedy. They're just interested in being entertained.
Mm.
And we realized we can't discuss our inside nature and understanding of comedy. We had to do a show. And we started working on what we are today.
Yeah, and you've been doing it for the last number of years. And Martin, of course, you know each other for 30 years because you were in the Three Amigos together. I would imagine.
That's correct.
I would imagine when you star in a movie alongside somebody, you just go, right, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. But you remain friends. Why so?
Well, I think it starts with comedy. I think we were making each other laugh and we were always having fun in each other's company. So why would you end that?
Hmm, yeah. And which of you is the funniest, do you think?
Steve is very clever.
Oh, that's so nice of you.
Thank you.
To say I'm clever, but you're actually the funny one, is that it?
No, I'm just saying some
clever implies always... you don't get laughs.
Well, there you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Have you ever fallen out in those 30 years that you've known each other?
No.
No.
Yeah,
no, we never have.
Because you know when you slag somebody, it can sometimes be below the belt, so to speak.
No, but you don't do that with people that you care about. I have a big fat belly. Steve would never mention it.
Oh, you know, you don't have a big fat belly.
I'm just using an example. No, I'm trying to think of. I don't think that there's a room. I don't think anything we would ever say to each other would go over a line because we love each other and we're too polite as people.
Mm. Yeah.
Three Arena is a big stadium. And your show is sort of like vaudeville meets a chat show with some bluegrass thrown in and there's bits of everything. Go on.
I know what you're going to ask. You know, how does it translate, I guess?
Yeah, that's...
to a big arena?
Yeah.
We've played all sizes. We've played to, you know, 12,000 people, and we've played to 2,000 people. And Marty has played to 100 people, mostly. But we don't seem to have a problem with size of the arena. How big is the arena?
Yeah, I think it's 8 to 10,000.
Okay, well... they'll probably cut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Marty, it's sort of a bit of a coming home because your dad was Irish.
Yes, Cross McGlen County, Armagh.
Yeah, have you been to his home place?
Oh my God, millions of times.
Yeah.
Many times.
Yeah.
The Shorts Bar is still there. It was started in 1885 and it's still running and functioning by my Aunt Rosaline. And I'll be visiting it when I'm up there because we're playing Belfast as well.
Yes, the day after. So that'd be March the 12th. Yeah, if my maths are correct.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, you've been in Ireland loads of times, mainly playing music.
I have. I went there. I've been there twice with Marty. And I went there once. I can't remember the occasion. I think just to see it in Dublin. And I have played music just in, you wouldn't, it's not, recorded. I mean, I just brought my banjo and played it in a bar or two, but I don't remember the exact details.
Mm.
I know I did it in Scotland and I did a little trip to Ireland. But I have an effect, all this music that we play, all this bluegrass music and the banjo and the fiddle, it's all Irish and English inspired, meaning the Appalachian music. So, And I went nuts for Irish music in the period I was there, like the Bothy Band and Planxty.
Mm.
And I just went crazy for it.
Would you now fancy a session after the show in Dublin? Of course, you're doing Belfast the next night, so you'll have to be in bed early, I would imagine. But is that something you would do, maybe go along to a bar and bring your banjo and hook up with Mary Black or somebody and have a session?
Oh, I love Mary Black. I actually recorded a song with Mary Black that I wrote, and we flew there. Actually, there was Dublin, of course. That's why we were there. We went to record Mary Black.
Yeah.
But, when our show is done, we're tired.
Yes.
And often we leave that night. Sometimes we'll leave that night for the next day. But, I don't have that. I'm 74, so I don't have the bar mentality anymore and have a beer late into the 3 or 4 a.m. hour. The Rangers might. That's the band we tour with.
The Steep Canyon Rangers, yeah.
I will, too. I'm going to be with the Rangers singing till dawn because I'm timeless.
You are. You're just a ball of energy. And, by the way, I just
Thank
looked
you.
Photos of you up on the Internet.
Is this me?
Yes.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
Which one is it? Am I clothed?
Have you what?
No, doesn't matter. I said have I got clothes on? Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, right. What do you think?
Well, I'm not going to insult my friend here, especially on the radio.
Yeah. What's your favorite part of the show, Martin? What's your favorite part?
Probably when it's done, I enjoy the whole thing. I mean, this is a very happy experience for us. We worked on it so that it's kind of wall-to-wall laughs, and the audiences seem so happy at the show we present that when I say at the end, it means that our shows go well and we feel happy and proud of ourselves. So I would say that.
Yeah. What about you, Steve Martin?
Well, I'm with Marty. We don't really, there's no part of the show where I'm thinking, oh, this part.
Yeah.
We just really enjoy doing it. And if it's something we don't like doing, we take it out. Or as soon as we can, try to replace it. Something good, but we work all night. We worked yesterday. We're going to work after the show today, and we're really happy to do the show. In fact, sometimes I look at the calendar and I go, "Oh, no shows this month. Oh, too bad."
And that's because you have no life.
Yeah, true.
Martin Short, were you a bit jealous when you saw Steve at the Oscars alongside Chris Rock?
I felt hurt and rejected.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I did. But then, thankfully, I drink heavily at night, and it all went into a blur, and I was fine the next day.
And when I realized you were hurt and rejected, I thought, it worked.
So you're closer together now. Listen, we said you were coming on, and we asked our listeners just to send us in a few questions for you. So I'll fire these at you. Could you ask Steve and Martin about working with John Candy? Steve worked with them in Planes, Trains and Automobiles, and Martin started off in Second City Television in Canada alongside John Candy. I'd be very interested in hearing about that.
John was a real sweetheart. I, you know, we really enjoyed each other, and we enjoyed kind of ad-libbing together. In fact, the director liked us ad-libbing so much that John and I made a pact: no more ad-libbing, because we were staying like late into the night because of some ad-lib we made 3 hours ago that he needed to cover and expand and explore. But anyway, he was a wonderful guy, he just really was, and he made me laugh.
Yeah, he was exactly who you would hope he would be, as far as his charm, as far as his humor. He had that great laugh.
yeah.
And he laughed all the time.
Yeah. Lovely memories. And Steve, Martha wants to know if you'd be able to make a film like The Jerk in this day and age of political correctness.
No, I don't think so. Mm. But, you know, The Jerk is very, very innocent. It's, you know, if you look at it, it's really on the side of the downtrodden. And, it probably wouldn't, you know, yeah. People would be nervous about it, yeah.
Steve Martin, who makes you laugh now, apart from Martin Short?
Well, certainly my daughter.
What age is your daughter now?
She's 7.
Ah, okay.
I'm an easy laugher, so, you know, I don't have a particular person, but we certainly love, there's some names, John Mulaney, Jerry Seinfeld, different contemporary comedians that I can't think of right now because I'm too egocentric, but we laugh, yeah. You know.
And people will laugh a lot if they come along on the 11th of March in the Three Arena, and then you're in the SSE Arena Belfast the night after, which is 12th of March. Tickets are available from Ticketmaster. Two of the funniest Hollywood A-listers coming to town, Steve Martin and Martin Short. Thank you very much.
We can't wait.
Thank
and
you.
We're looking to getting there.
Thank you.
Bye.
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 The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, it is Pancake Tuesday, and we're joined in Studio 10 by Louise Lennox. Good afternoon, Louise, famous from The Restaurant and other programmes. Yeah. Thanks so much for coming in. Is it a day that you honour, celebrate, mark?
I would say I would have needed nearly to be in therapy from Pancake Tuesdays in the memory from working in restaurants.
Yes.
Because there's never enough space for all the pancakes and everyone orders them. And I used to do crepe Suzette's and we'd have lunch and dinner service.
Uh-huh.
So I would need to go and decompress for a few days. So I always hated it. And I used to even try and avoid putting them on the menu and to see if the executive chef would notice, which I always got into trouble for. And then my son, around 2 years ago, when they started school, gets very excited about Pancake Tuesday. And he was up at 6 this morning, bouncing on the bed, because it's Pancake
Tuesday. Yes. Yeah.
So I embrace it now.
Okay. Now, you mentioned crepes there. What's the difference between a pancake and a crepe?
Well, a pancake really is a crepe. I mean, it's the French thin style pancake.
And they're bigger, are they, in diameter?
Yes. Yes. Big and thin.
Yes.
And then the pancake, the American style, as I call it, but they technically
they're small
are the
and
pancake.
Thick.
Yeah. And they would have a raising agent in them. So they'd have a baking powder in them, whereas the traditional crepes don't. They'd be more cakey style.
So our pancakes are somewhere in the middle then, between a crepe and an American pancake.
Yeah, depending how you make
them.
Your batter.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of them are leathery, some of them are light. And then when I was a child, like, I just hated pancakes. When I was coming in, I was listening to you talking about like lemon and sugar.
Yeah.
And do you remember Jif Lemon coined Jif Lemon Day for years?
Oh yeah, no, that's all
we
ever had. No, we never had fresh lemons.
No, us neither. And they were cooked on the range,
yes.
Half burnt. I just didn't like them.
And we used to get our Doc Martin sold. That's how poor we were.
No. We've come along. I was actually really impressed to hear what people are having in their pancakes,
yes,
as well today.
Yeah, we used it to sort of experiment with our WhatsApp number, 087-187-9101. 087-187-9101. That'd be annoying. It's annoying me already, and I'm saying it. So we've got great stuff. Listen, put those headphones on so you can
sure.
hear what they're suggesting. You can give a chef's opinion on it. This is Veronica. Hello, Veronica.
Hi, Ray. I like real butter, sugar and lemon juice. I think you're great and I love your programs. Bye.
Thanks, Veronica. That was odd because I was on in the background there. So she's a traditionalist.
And she's no relation of yours.
I don't know. Right, John, how are you?
Hi, Ray. I'm 75 years of age. Made some beautiful pancakes for myself. Live on my own in County Clare. John. On my pancake, I put beautiful honey and some banana.
Yeah. Honey and banana.
Oh, that's a nice breakfasty style one.
Yeah. People have great fun with it. There are no rules, are there?
I used to deep fry my pancakes.
You did not?
Yeah. When I worked in restaurants, I used to, all our ice cream was made from scratch. And I love and adore ice cream. And they're really good for concealing in the ice cream. So I'd put in the middle, you know, like a kind of a frozen log. And then I'd wrap the pancake around and then deep fry it. Because I was trying to experiment with deep fried ice cream. Yes. It was really in at the time and I couldn't master it. And then I discovered by doing a pancake, kept it, it would melt a little bit on the inside, but still be frozen and then be kind of crispy on the outside with maple syrup.
There's something similar to that, isn't there? What is there something similar to that?
Oh yeah, like, well,
deep fried pancake with ice cream inside.
Yeah, I liked it. With I started sauce as well.
When you say it there, yeah, it sounds
the textures
nice.
Textures would be crispy nice. And then creamy.
Okay. Will we confuse people if we give out my batter recipe and your batter recipe, or
just go with your
which
one.
Batter is better?
Well, you're only going to taste mine, so mine's going to win the taste test.
Well, this is the one I did last night, and we had pancakes this morning. Both Kate and Tom had them.
And then if anyone doesn't like it, you'll get the wrap tomorrow and I'll be long gone.
Yeah. So it's a variation of my dad's with a little help from Nevin Maguire, okay? Yeah. So it's 2 eggs, 100 grams of flour, make sure you sieve it, 300 millilitres of milk, 1 tablespoon of sunflower oil, whisk it all up. Make sure there's no bits of flour left. You say leave it stand, but I've read elsewhere that that's a bit of a myth. Does it work?
I wouldn't say it's a myth. When you mix anything that's got flour, you activate the gluten.
Right.
So if you mix it a lot, if you're very heavy handed, you're going to have more leathery pancakes. If you like them a little bit lighter, and then it gives the flour a little chance to absorb. So it gives a more even consistency batter, which means your pancakes have less likeliness of breaking. Some people say when they make pancakes, they tend to break them. And by letting it rest actually makes them structurally better.
Okay.
But you can make them straight away.
How hot should your pan be?
I would say medium to high. It depends on your pan.
Yes.
The really cheapy pans are very flimsy and they can tend to burn the pancakes really easy. The thicker based pans, which this would be, takes longer to heat. So that's why a lot of people, I always say, use one as a test run. Don't show off or Instagram it and wait till you've like got the temperature right.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Medium to high, depends on your pan.
I clean my pan between each pancake.
What do you fry it in?
Butter.
It's because you haven't clarified it. So the butter's burning.
Right. So how do you clarify
really
butter?
Simple. It scares a lot of people. You just get butter. I have a little ramekin dish here, or you could put it in a pot. I cubed up the butter, put it in the microwave on half heat for a minute and then another 30 seconds just to melt it gently. You could do the same in a pan. And then what happens is you've got milk solids and water that's in butter and they are more dense, so they go to the bottom. They're this whitey liquid you can see there.
The bottom, yes.
And then you've got this beautiful golden colour. Clarified butter can cook at a higher smoke rate, so you can turn up a high heat. And
So you're only using the top bit?
Yeah,
not
and
the
bottom
bit.
You pour off the top bit just to separate it, and it's the white parts that burn, and they'll also spit out on you at a high heat because it's got water in it, and water and fat don't like each other.
So clarified butter.
Really simple. Like,
that means
saying
I don't
to
have
Niamh,
to clean my
like,
pan before.
No. She's like, a lot of work. And I was like, it's a minute and a half, but it really is worth it. And it's worth it for your clothes. Mind the clothes I've had destroyed over the years from cooking at high temperatures.
Okay.
And if you've kids cooking with you as well, it's much safer. And then all I do is, a lot of people, the other mistake they make, and when people try and flip them, it scares me because they're nearly flipping it and you can see loads of oil around it.
Nice.
And you would get a nice skin burn there. So I get a little bit of kitchen paper if you have it, or just a really clean cloth, and just dip
apply
it in.
It. Now I do that. What I do is I tear a bit off the butter wrapping and use
that's
that to.
Good.
Well, I think a lot of people do that.
Do you know what? I don't do it anymore. And do you know why? Because I have a butter dish. One thing I didn't have for in 20 years, and I went out and finally remembered to buy a butter dish. And now I don't really keep my butter papers. I just don't bake as much as I used to.
Right. Okay. So you wiped your clarified butter onto your pan.
Yeah.
We have a hot plate in Studio 10 here.
Yeah. And I'm going to turn this on.
Okay.
Don't cook with this often, this like mobile hot plate pan. So this is a bit of an experiment for me as well,
right.
Shay Ray.
It's good and noisy. We're not making it up.
Listen, this one is very noisy, which is why I normally keep microphones well away from it. But
look, while you're there, because I might have time for another song, or maybe I won't, but songs from 20 years ago, we played Delirium, All Saints, Pure Shores, Mark McCabe, Maniac, Spiller, If This Ain't Love, Mojo Lady, or Eminem and Dido, Stan, which of those would you like to hear?
Oh, Maniac.
Maniac.
It's hailstoning outside in Donnybrook, so you need something for people in the car.
I was afraid you were going to say that, actually.
And it's from Greystones, and the guy that did that's from Greystones. Yeah, Gordon knows him.
Okay. Right. I'll see while you're doing that. Okay.
Okay.
So you're waiting for that to sizzle a bit before you put on your. And you've brought in your.
Yeah, I brought in batter. And if you couldn't be bothered whisking it by hand, if anyone has one of those Nutro bullets or liquidizers or hand liquidizers, use that because it's made really fast. And then the trick I do is I put my hand over it to make sure it's good and hot. And then I have, it's a third of a cup measuring little thing here. Ladles are fine.
Okay, here's,
what you do is you lift it off the heat and you keep tilting it until it's kind of got a base on it. Don't leave it up on the heat because it's just going to form in one spot.
Now, I realise that this isn't what you use at home, so it may not work.
It's okay. I brought in like five I've made earlier. I'm like, you don't eat. My husband's getting after his dinner. Not making any more batter. And then some recipes say 30 seconds. That's probably if you have it on superheat. I always find the first one takes a little bit longer because the pan's heating up through. And then after that, it's a production line.
Okay.
But if you're making loads of them, just put some baking parchment in between them and stops them from sticking.
Now, just while you're doing that, while you're waiting for that, I'll give you a few of the texts that came in. Michael in Ardmore in County Waterford, beautiful part of the country. For dinner tonight, pancakes with Ardmore brown shrimp.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, another savoury one here. We'll be having savoury pancakes, thinly sliced bacon and slices of tomato with a little syrup on top when cooked. Delicious. And everybody's down from upstairs to help you with your pancakes.
I'm just going to flip
not
this over
to cook
a
them,
bit.
But to eat them. We have crispy grilled streaky rashers with maple syrup on our pancakes. That's very American, isn't it? That's yummy.
Love that,
that's Marion in Malahide.
I'm all over maple syrup and bacon together.
I'll be making savoury and sweet pancakes, says Carolyn. The savoury filling will be chicken, peppers, ginger, and flaked almonds. In a sour cream sauce.
That sounds nice.
That looks good. That looks good.
So I've made you a special filling. I call this the Ray Darcy Pancake Special 2020.
Is there rum and raisin involved here?
No, not yet. But I did do pears and a little bit of ginger and honey. And then what I did with the skin is, when I used to work in restaurants years ago, it was one of my best sellers, I used to make caramel sauce with the skin so nothing gets wasted and you get that beautiful pear flavour because there's so much of the oils and flavours in the skin. Now that looks like it's a little bit ready. Yes, it is. Oh, so
that looks great.
How long was that? I don't know.
Looks a lot better than the ones I made this morning. Sorry about that, kids.
Up too early. Actually, while I'm making this for you, Ray, I need you to get an opinion. So I put up, I'm not great on social media, but I did tweet this morning. My son insisted on a pancake and he wanted a patchwork pancake full of colour. So it's strawberry, red velvet and mint.
How did you do that?
So I got it's American batter.
Right.
And what I did was I got, red velvet was red food colouring, so I'm not going red velvet. I have strawberry flavour and pink colouring and then mint and green. And I actually did get him eating green vegetables from dyeing pancakes green, so he understood that green doesn't necessarily taste disgusting. It actually works.
Very good. That
genuine.
Looks amazing. Can we put that up on our website?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. 6 year olds.
I think we've one more coming in. Mick here. How you make, you can listen to this there while you're doing that. Put your headphones on. How you make, what about your pancake?
Hi there. Mick O'Brien here in Limerick. I like to sprinkle it with caster sugar, some honey, and my mother used to always put a bit of apple in the middle, just a slice of apple, very thin, and it'd be beautiful.
All right, thanks, Mick. Enjoy it.
Now,
look at this.
You know,
look,
I always say you don't make friends with salads, but me and Ray are best friends at the moment because he's having a pair of caramel sauce. He's in heaven.
Ah, lads, I'm sorry. Now, I do feel a little bit guilty that I'm enjoying this in here and you're out in the hailstones, but. Oh. Oh, words fail me.
See, this is why we'll always get on. I'll always make you something with fruit, Ray. Although I was surprised to hear you're going to have raspberries and chocolate.
Oh, and you have some nuts in there as well.
Yeah, you need a little bit of texture and crunch, I think.
Yeah.
But it's really, really easy. And you can make those with apples as well.
Poached pear, caramel sauce.
Yeah, sautéed pear, actually.
Sautéed pear, sorry.
And if you couldn't be bothered, you can actually buy the tin pears as well
right,
and sauté them all for a bit of flavour.
That is delicious, Niamh. You have to taste that. That is truly delicious.
I've got new...
Now, what else would you suggest? Because we're a minute now.
Okay, well, I've got cannoli filling here. So it's ricotta, it's orange, a little bit of mixed peel, and I've got chocolate sauce going over that. Really easy chocolate sauce, 100 grams of chocolate, 50 grams of water, and you just melt it all. Oh, sorry, I was there going here.
So there's ricotta cheese in the middle of this?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You're going going to love it. And just while you're eating that, I have actually started doing masterclasses at Foodopi. So a lot of people don't know, I don't really work doing baking as much as I used to. I'm a trained children's feeding therapist because my son's eating, different story. But I have an event coming up in Dublin at the end of March. So if anyone wants to learn more about fussy eating and poor parents that are being driven mad and stressed, you can go onto the Foodopi website
to
find
out more. How do you
spell that? Foodopi means food, learning and Finnish. Should get that as a tagline.
Foodopi.
Foodopi, well, yeah.
That's delicious as well. Always delicious.
Thank
Louise
you.
Lennox, thank you so
it was
much
so
for coming
lovely
in.
Seeing you
with
all again.
With your pan and your hot plate and your batter and everything else. Enjoy your pancakes however you're having them this evening, sweet or sour or savoury. Mary Wilson is on the way. We're back tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.